All right. Hi, everyone. Alexa here, as you all know who I am. And our lucky guest is...
April.
April. Say hi, April.
Hello.
So April is like basically my sister-in-law, just without the ring and the marriage, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. She's been around for a little bit.
So yeah. We're here.
Yeah, welcome. Yay! It's her first time on a podcast,
so she's
super excited. I'm excited too. I think it's going to be great. The story that we're talking about is just like, it's so crazy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm seriously like mind blown
yeah.
on this story.
Whenever I first looked into it, I was like, okay, a guy in a suitcase or whatever. And then you sent me that link and I was like, oh my God.
You're like, wait a second. What is going on?
Yes. Yeah. I saw that Instagram reel and I was like, they can post this stuff online.
Yeah.
Like this man, like fighting for his life. Like they can just release
I know.
That.
It was really sad. Crazy.
But you know,
the
whole story as a whole, I'm just like blown away. So.
Yeah. Right. So before we like dive into the story, I will do the disclaimer. Our videos and podcasts are for entertainment purposes. All information discussed was found on the internet. Keep in mind, we will talk all things sinister that may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. So that just keeps me from getting sued. Anyway. So, we're doing the same thing. I am not pregnant, so I can drink a margarita. Cheers. and we will have a drinking word. So I think the drinking word should be suitcase.
Good one.
Yeah.
You know, you also could have done one and really fucked everybody up.
Yeah.
By using
what?
Not the word that it wasn't accidental. What was that word?
Oh, not intentional.
Not intentional.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know that would have been like
everyone,
pretty good too.
Yeah. Everyone would be lit though. So
everyone would be lit. So let's do suitcase. Cause I don't know if we have enough alcohol for not intentional. Mm-hmm, so if you hear the word suitcase and you are 21 and above, I hope you are enjoying an alcoholic beverage. If you are under 21, I don't know, stay hydrated. As Cadence would say previously, drink your milky.
Liquid IV, maybe.
Yeah, liquid IV, Gatorade, whatever. So we are talking about the story of Sarah Boone and George Torres Jr. So this story took place in Winter Park, Florida. She's a Winter Park, Florida woman, and she is accused of murdering her boyfriend by putting him in a suitcase. First drink of the night. So, you know, it's crazy because before I like dive into the actual like evidence or what we know about the story, Sarah and George, and his name is spelled Jorge and he's clearly Mexican.
Oh.
Right. But his name is pronounced George, I guess, or that's what she said. George. I know. I was kind of like shocked because at first whenever I'm like researching and stuff, I'm like, oh, Jorge. And she's like, George. So I guess his name is George.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of a interesting fact that I didn't know about the whole situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And his name is spelled like Jorge, not like George. Like obviously Jorge is George Americanized, but.
Right. But like maybe, I don't know. I wonder what his background was, like his family.
Yeah,
maybe they called him George too,
or maybe they called him Jorge and he's like, I don't want that name, I want George. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But a little bit about them. They had been together for 3 years prior to the murder. Sarah had previously been married to a man named Brian, which we'll hear a lot about, but she also had two kids. She had two sons and George had three daughters, and their relationship was not healthy at all. Very, very abusive, very toxic. They were both alcoholics. Honestly, I suspect some drugs too, but I couldn't find facts about that either. But just very toxic. So fast forward to the murder. He was murdered February 23rd, 2020. And prior to the murder back in 2018, there were battery charges. So the one of the first battery charges was actually against Sarah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. I was kind of like shocked.
But, you know, it's honestly not that super shocking just because of the things that they said, the injuries that he had when he was in the suitcase, like his head and then his like back and then his lip.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and then she also, I remember like reading or listening in that interview, her being something like, we haven't been fighting.
We've been good. Yeah. It was so annoying. So back in 2018, Sarah was charged with battery by strangulation, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, considering the way that he died.
Yeah. So her story is that she was dragged upstairs in their townhome by George. He kicked her in the right eye, and this was all because she was talking to a friend at the bar. But George told the investigators that she tried to strangle him and that if he didn't kick her off, like, he would have died. Like, he would have suffocated. So, basically, the investigators couldn't determine after arresting her, like, who was the primary aggressor. Yeah. So, the charges were dropped.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit of an insight on
her character.
Yeah. Like,
and maybe secretly wanting him to die for 2 years.
And that's what I was like. Like, that's a long time to just build up all of that.
I know. Resentment.
Yeah. And like, did he get arrested in between? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say there were some other times because she's like,
he's been so abusive and his drug parole court and stuff and all that. Yeah.
And she's like, they're calling me an angel and
I'm for saving his life. Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can't tell, like, I am totally against the Sarah girl, but we'll talk a little bit more about her character. So fast forward to 2019. George had been arrested actually a few times for battery. Okay. The last time that he was arrested prior to his death was September 2019. Again, arrested for battery. And the story is that Susan had accused him of punching her in the ear. So she called 911 and he was arrested and taken to jail. There was apparently a temporary restraining order put into place too because he had consistently been arrested, whether she would call 911 or whether a neighbor would call 911, whatever the situation was. But she would bail him out every single time, specifically like the next day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so you can tell that their relationship is very, very toxic. Neighbors, whenever they were interviewed by the detective, said that they were alcoholics, that they drank every single night and they fought every single night. There was always something going on. Even one of the neighbors was like, yeah, I kind of knew when to call 911 versus like when I knew their fights were kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of like, nah, you're stupid, you know? Yeah. But they would know when it was like escalating to that extra high-pitched type of screaming, I guess.
I guess.
Or something.
It's just so toxic.
I don't know.
I just don't get it. I don't understand. It's like, you know, I understand why like some women stay in an abusive relationship, and specifically like if you have kids or if you are like financially dependent on that person and you have like legit nowhere to go. But at the same time, now, even for a very long time, we have so many different clinics, you know, and options available. Yeah. There are nonprofit organizations, you know, available, or shelters or whatever the situation is, especially to help women and children. And then vice versa, if a man is staying in an abusive relationship, they don't really have that help or that assistance, which is kind of shitty.
It is a little bit. But like at the same time, though, I feel like for either party, it's like you don't want to leave anyways, you know, even if you know that there are other resources out there, you're still like, we're in this. There's just like this different kind of bond that there
it's like
is,
they're
you know,
addicted to the toxicity in a way. And I think that's what this was. I think they were both aggressors anyway.
Yeah, same.
So February 23rd, 2020, the day that everything happened, according to Sarah and many interviews, it was not intentional. She said that her and George drank a bottle of wine.
Only one.
They were doing puzzles.
And
playing. Painting. Yes. And playing. And then they decided to play hide and seek. So don't you play hide and seek with Riley?
All the time. At least twice a week.
Yeah, right? Like all the time. So no, but for real, like what at this time, they were both 42 years old. What 42 year olds?
Oh.
Yeah. What 42 year olds play hide and seek?
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-mm. That's not hide and seek. And if we want to talk about the game of hide and seek, how do you play hide and seek? Somebody hides and you seek them.
You go find them.
You don't help them hide.
And you don't put them out in the middle of the living room. Yeah. It was in the middle of the living room.
So
how is that hiding?
Right. So she convinces him to get into a suitcase. And I mean, her story just doesn't make sense at all, because if, again, they were playing hide and seek and she tells him to get into the suitcase, that's not like she isn't seeking him, but she then zips him up all the way up. But according to her, she left two fingers open where he could get two fingers out and unzip himself out.
She also said later on, when she saw the video, she was like, oh, you can see his fingers out right there. Yeah. And they're like, no, there are no fingers.
There are no fingers. So she then said that she went upstairs. This is her story. She went upstairs and fell asleep in their bed. So you just leave him in this suitcase and expect him to like unzip himself out, right?
How?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with suitcases as is. Whenever I'm traveling, I'm always like fighting.
Oh, yeah, fighting. I mean, number one, just to like open it and close it. And number two, like just to kind of maneuver it.
Mm-hmm.
So she is recording this too, right? So he gets into the suitcase, she zips him up, and then she pulls out her phone and starts recording him in the suitcase. So I'm going to play some of that, because you can find this on social media or you can find it just on a quick like Google search. But it's wild.
Yeah, it makes me like, I'm just like, how do you take a video of somebody like in that position?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she claims she's like, he was crying wolf.
Yeah.
La la la. And I'm like, it doesn't sound like you guys are playing around very much.
No.
Though, you know?
So here's the video.
For everything you've done to me.
Sarah.
For everything you've done to me. This is my name. Don't wear it out.
Sarah. I can't fucking breathe, babe. Where is he?
Yeah, that's when you do, when you choke me.
Sarah. Sarah, I can't breathe, babe.
You're laughing.
That's on you.
Sarah, I can't breathe.
It's on you.
So this video, like, it gives me chills just thinking about it. And notice too, like, the suitcase is upside down.
Yeah.
So when you get into a suitcase, I mean, I probably haven't gotten in one since I was a kid, obviously.
I don't know the last
like and
time.
Even then, I don't even know if I did get in one, right? But if you were to get in one, you're gonna get in one where it's right side up, because it's like deeper. You can sit in it, and then the lid is going to, or the top is going to close over.
You're going to flap it on the top. That's just the easiest way that would be done.
You would think. So, like, in the video, it's upside down. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in a minute, but you can clearly tell in the video that he is, like, struggling to even say Sarah.
Yeah. You can hear him being like fighting for his breath. Like, I would be freaking out.
Yes.
If I was in a small place and I could not get out, I would freak. Yes. I am like claustrophobic. Not like crazy claustrophobic in any way. Like,
but like that, I would be freaking the fuck out.
If I was in that, I would be claustrophobic as fuck.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. Right. Like, can you even imagine? I mean, first of all, I would have never even gotten in there in the first place. But
no, not being like not in the relationship that you're in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that if even in his back of his head, he'd be like, if I get in here, I'll probably be in here for a while. I should probably not do that. You know?
I should probably not do that, especially with how like abusive they both were to each other. You would think, you know, another thing too, it's like I think about like mine and Tony's relationship or you and Riley, and it's like, what if you guys were drunk and you were just fucking around and then you have a suitcase there and you're like, I wonder if I can fit in that suitcase.
Yeah,
like that makes more sense. That's what she should have said instead of saying hide and seek. Anyway,
yeah,
but like I can see like that happening, like being like, I wonder if I can fit in that, and then Tony being like, yeah, get in there, I'm gonna zip you up. But he would unzip me like quickly,
immediately. I would scream. Immediately. I would scream
bloody murder. Yeah, exactly.
As you would let me out.
I would let you out. I mean, I would leave you in there for maybe a minute. No, I'm just kidding. I would let you out.
It would be funny for a second, and then I'd be like,
you're like, okay, get me the fuck out of here. No, but seriously, like, it's just wild, you know. And in the video, she's like laughing, she's just chilling back, sitting on a chair. Yeah, like,
that's my name,
don't wear it out,
I'm 12.
Yeah. So to add to this, and here's kind of, I'm gonna talk about like what I think, and then I want to know what you think here in a little bit. But to add to the case, the neighbors told the detectives in an interview that around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, they heard what sounded like a very loud banging noise roll down the stairs. And they share the interior wall where the staircases are. So autopsy results came back and he clearly died of asphyxiation. And the autopsy said that he had injuries on his body, kind of like what you were talking about in the beginning. He had scratch marks on his back, a contusion or bruise his left shoulder, a cut on his lip. His mouth was swollen. And the detectives are telling Sarah all about this. And she's like, okay, well, I didn't touch him. I didn't do anything. He's notorious for running into walls. He fell off of my son's bike.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And they're like, no. Like, this happened like yesterday. Technically, it would have been the day before whenever he died. Mm-hmm. But like, that's exactly like, she's like, oh, well, I didn't do anything. We've been good. I didn't do anything. And continue with his injuries. He had bruising on the left side of his forehead, blunt force trauma to his head. And again, she keeps saying that she didn't touch him. She didn't do anything. Rightfully so. She probably did not touch him. She said the scratch marks on the back were from sex. So later in the interview, the detectives are like, okay, so can we like swab underneath your fingernails? She's like, yeah, no problem. So,
like, you know, what I feel like is happening is that I also remember her saying this, like, in the interview, saying that, well, he probably got those injuries, like, while being in the suitcase.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably because you pushed him down the stairs, in it?
Exactly.
Hearing the neighbors say that just, like, made everything.
All the connections, right? So neighbors, you know, consistently say that they are belligerently drunk. Specifically said that night they were belligerently drunk as well. They were outside. It was like 6 o'clock and they were already drunk. So throughout the video of the interview, she states that she takes videos often of whenever they're drinking. And because of how mean he is.
Yeah, she's like, I want to get it on video, like him acting out on me so that people understand that's not me.
Yeah. And so the detectives are like, so why are you still with him? And this is the first time in the interview, we're probably an hour in at this point, the first time where she shows emotion other than being annoyed and anger. She starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I really do love him. I love him so much. And I seriously think that I can help him. Have you talked to his parole officer? His parole officer thinks that I'm an angel. She thinks that I have saved his life. Mm-hmm. And this is the only time in the entire 2-hour interview that she's emotional.
She doesn't give any sort of, and she even said at one point, she's like, I have been one day without him and I haven't slept. And I'm like, no, you called the police this today. You haven't had the time to sleep. Yeah. Like, and you called them at 1 p.m. Did you sleep?
1 p.m.
You slept that late, or were you sitting up and trying to think of what you're going to say to the cops so that you don't go to jail for the rest of your life?
Exactly. That's exactly what I think. You know, another thing too, this entire interview is on YouTube, and I'll post the link in the episode details, but it's like, there is zero emotion from this girl other than being annoyed and being angry. And I'm just like, there's zero remorse.
I feel like she's also like really defensive. Like she's very. Like, they're like, she's like, you guys are just assuming that I'm doing this. And they're like, we have not assumed anything. We are literally stating the facts.
Yes.
This is what happened. You left him in a suitcase and went upstairs. Yep. That's what you did. Yep. We're not assuming that's what happened.
That's like, exactly what happened.
The fact that you're mad is giving us a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Right. I mean, it shows her character. We need to know. Yeah. And it shows that she is not being honest. So I definitely think this relationship was abusive on both ends. Maybe she was looking for an escape, like a way out of it. But that's not the way to do it. Period. Like, no. You should never kill a person because he's abusive. And historically, they've both been abusive. So it's just like toxic all around.
Yeah.
So it doesn't justify murder.
Nothing ever justifies murder. You know, like,
yeah.
As much as, you know, people like to say that, like, you know, serial killers and whatnot, like, they're like, they deserve to die. I pick out people that, you know, la la la.
Yeah.
No, like, you know, they still, that's not for you to decide. Human being.
Like, you, you shouldn't take a life like that.
You're not God.
No, you're not God. And I think her defense, what we learn a little bit later, she's playing the abused spouse card. But I think, you know, she's probably saying I was either going to be killed or I had to kill him. Because if you think about it, think about this. They're drunk. They're playing games. Mm-hmm. They're playing around. I think what truly happened is she convinced him to get in the suitcase. Like, babe, I wonder if you can actually fit in there.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. So he gets in. She zips him up. And then she realized, oh, shit, I fucked up.
Yeah.
I have fucked power. Up. I have the power. Mm-hmm. And so she thought in that mind, right there in her mind, I either have to kill him or if he gets out, that motherfucker is going to kill me.
He's going to beat the shit out of me for putting him in there.
For putting him in there. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be her defense.
You know, and she maybe could have use that to her defense if she like maybe would have
smart
say something, you know, like she could have pled the little crazy card a little bit and been like, you know, like it just hit me, you know, and like I mean, not saying that she still wouldn't go to prison for a while, she definitely
definitely would have, but if she would have been honest
and been like, okay, he's been beating me for the last two or three years, you know, of our relationship and I just got this crazy seed, you know.
Maybe, but she was not honest at all throughout the entire interview.
No.
Matter of fact, like, she is talking about, you know, how they can look at her phone and all of this stuff. And she's like, yeah, you can look at my phone. You can look at my phone. Look at all the videos I took. I even took a video that day of him dancing with the dog. And then,
she also was like, but even look back farther and you can see him beating the shit out of me.
Yes.
You know, giving them complete, like, she's like, look at everything that he's done to me.
Yeah, look at everything on my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they find this video, the video that I just played, and they're like about to play it. They're like, okay, well, since you gave us access to your phone, we found this video from that day. And she was like, what? I didn't take any videos mm-hmm. that day. I didn't even take any pictures. And they're like, well, wait a second. You just told us that you took a video of him dancing with your dog. And she's like, no, I didn't.
Yep.
So they find the video, the 2-minute video, and they start playing it for her. Mm. And she is freaking out. She's all yeah. over the place. I swear to God, the bitch was still drunk.
She was freaking out. She was like, please don't play that around me. Like she,
yeah,
it's like she didn't realize she she had taken a video.
Yes.
Because it was so funny. But she wasn't drunk. No, she wasn't drunk. I only had, I can drink 2 or 3 glasses of wine and be
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
But they were like, there's so many things. But yes. it's, I just love how they talked to her and got the things out of her, because yes. they gave her and asked her all these questions yes. before. They gave her the video. So they were
exactly.
like, so you took all these videos and this. And she's like, yeah, go yeah. look on my phone. Yeah. And he's like, and there was nothing malicious going through the night at all. And you didn't even drink mm-hmm. that much. And she's like, no, I am sober. And I go upstairs because yeah. he's just so extra.
Right. Basically.
And then they showed her the video and she's like, shit.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to see that. What do I have to watch? Why are you making me watch this?
Why are you doing this to me?
Yep.
Are you guys trying to make me feel bad?
Yeah, you're trying to make me feel even worse than I already feel. So I have a part of the video. And again, this is in the 2-hour interview. So I do want to play just a tiny little bit of this because it's crazy.
Do I have to watch this? I continuously throw up. I don't sleep. I don't want to see it, if that's okay.
She has.
Well, it's on your phone.
Oh, I have something to say here.
And you can either explain it or we take it for what it is.
Yeah. We're just trying to give you the opportunity to tell us what's going on. That's it.
It's that long? 2 minutes.
No, for everything you've done to me. For everything you've done to me.
So this girl is tiny, probably
small,
like tiny, small. Like very like brittle, probably like 5 foot, 120 pounds, very like brittle. You can tell she's just like a very, very little person. And George is, he's not fairly big. He's probably like 5'6", 160, 170 pounds max. Like,
I haven't seen what he looks like, I guess.
Yeah, he's pretty skinny, but I think that's because of the alcohol, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so in this video, they're calling out, well, first of all, her body language. She's like kind of all over the place, like moving around. And then she sits still as they're playing the video, like, oh, fuck. Like, what am I going to say? What's my alibi going to be? Yeah. What, like, how am I going to go with this? And then they're talking about, like, the video. You can see there's 2 different videos here. 1, the suitcase is flipped up. 2, the suitcase is flipped upside down. Yeah. So how in the world was she able to do that?
No. Okay. So that's what one thing that wonders me. And also they were saying the videos were also like 10 minutes apart as well. So it's like, yeah, was 11 she just,
minutes apart.
Was she just over there just like working all of her strength to get that?
And she's drunk.
What?
You can clearly tell that she's drunk. Like, how her do you have voice. That strength when you're drunk?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't understand. And that's why
I don't
like,
either.
That part does not make sense. But maybe if you, I don't, 160 pounds, like that would be hard for me.
That would be hard for me.
Yeah.
Even at 100 pounds, like what the fuck? How am I going to flip that?
Like a dead weight person.
Yeah.
Heavy. Fuck that. Heavy. Yeah.
Very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I think happened. I think they were upstairs. Suitcase was upstairs in their room. She clearly got him to go into it. She zipped him up, pushed him down the stairs. And I think the video that we hear is him clearly in pain, barely breathing, scared and pleading for his life. And if you notice in the video too, he's not moving. Not moving at all.
There was like two times where he would like
barely
push the top of the thing, but he was not like panicking.
He was not
in
moving.
There. He was
right.
not. And so like, I don't know, that kind of like, I have a really hot take on this,
mm-hmm.
but it's really crazy.
Tell me.
Okay. So
yeah, tell me.
I'm like, we both know that they're really abusive. You know what I mean? Okay. So what if as his like last dying wish or whatever, like he maybe did have the ability to get out of there or whatever, but he didn't because he was like, she will suffer for the rest of her life if they find me dead.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Maybe that's a little dark. I don't know.
No, it is dark. But the only reason why I don't think so is because of his relationship with his kids.
Okay. So, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Apparently, I mean, obviously he was in and out of jail. He had some struggles, but he was doing whatever he could to support his kids. Okay. So I don't think that. I don't think he wanted to die. I truly think she took advantage of what happened and she made him like jokingly get into the suitcase and knew exactly what she was going to do. It was 1,000% premeditated.
You think so?
1,000%.
It honestly makes more sense than anything because she's like, he got it out of the back of there because we were trying to clean out the
closet. We were
going to
donate it. No, no, no.
She had way too many details to have like, and way too much of like, they're going to ask me this. Okay, I need to have this reply. Or they're going to ask me this next. Okay, I need to have this. And then it just didn't make sense in all of the end.
Not at all.
She did it all by herself.
Yep, she did it all by herself. She knew exactly what she was going to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think maybe she premeditated it for like months or days before. I just think it was minutes before she took the opportunity. She knew exactly what she was going to do. And she was going to get him in that suitcase. She was going to push him down the stairs thinking that he would die. And then she realized he didn't die. And so then she tormented him until he died. And then after he died, she went upstairs and went to bed. Yep.
And then waited until 1 p.m. the next day
to call 911.
And she was like, I was giving him CPR and they were talking with me over the phone. And she's like, I thought that he was up drinking coffee or doing this or doing that. And
I figured he would just unzip himself and get out of the suitcase.
Yeah. While it was a broken zipper too. Mm-hmm. They were like, there was a paper clip on there or something. Maybe I can't
like
remember.
How in the world would he have gotten out?
She kept doing this thing in the interview too, where she was like,
yeah,
you know,
she kept.
I'm like, what does this mean?
I know.
Why are you doing that?
So, she ends up calling 911 around 1 p.m. as we stated, to say that her boyfriend's dead. She called Brian, her ex-husband, first, though, before calling 911, and he was like, Sarah, you need to call 911. So then she calls 911, and in the 911 call, she stated that he had blood coming out of his mouth. So I have that too, the 911 call that I want to play. I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's very long. It's like 10 minutes long, but I do want you to hear the beginning of this because it's wild.
Location, Murphy.
Desk 32.
No, please don't leave.
4748 France Lane, apartment 3.
France Court.
France Court.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, is this near Mackenzie Drive?
I don't know where that is.
So calm.
Okay, fine, okay.
It's Gilwood Park Apartments.
Okay, 4748 France, correct?
Correct.
All right, great. Now tell me exactly what happened there.
My boyfriend and I were playing last night, and I put him in a case and we were playing. And like kind of hide and seek kind of thing. So I fell asleep and I woke up and he was dead in the suitcase. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
Right, okay, what's your apartment number?
3.
I don't know. Apartment 3?
Yes, like he has like blood coming out of his mouth, and I don't know if like he had like an aneurysm or what happened.
Right, okay, all right, okay. Listen, we're getting help out there to you. All right, okay. Okay,
now?
Okay, man, listen, we're on our way out there. You're at 407-716-8684. Okay, is he hanging from somewhere or what, ma'am?
No, I pulled him out of the suitcase. I tried giving him CPR.
Okay, so he was in a suitcase?
Yes, and I fell asleep.
Okay, how old is the boyfriend, ma'am? 42-year-old male. All right. Okay, we're sending help out there. Sheriff's house, straight away out there?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, okay. All right, listen to me. Okay, I just need to confirm this. Is he awake at all? Is he conscious at all?
No, he's purple.
Is he breathing?
No.
All right. I need you to get him on the floor, flat on his back for me, okay?
I did. I tried giving him CPR.
All right.
I tried giving him CPR.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing happened. He's purple.
Okay, listen to me. There's a defibrillator, but I need you to get it for me, okay?
What is
it? You have an AED available?
No.
All right. Are you right by him now?
I'm sorry?
Are you right by him now?
Yes.
Okay. Lay him flat on his... Okay, ma'am, listen. Is he cold and stiff?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's not necessarily cold, but he's stiff. And he's purple.
Okay. All right, listen to me. I want you to lay him flat on his back for me on the floor.
I did.
Removing the pillows, okay?
Yes, I did.
All right, okay.
He's stiff and purple.
Right, okay, listen. Okay, man, that's fine. We're still going to do compressions on him, okay? All right? Place the heel of your hand on his breastbone, right in the center of the chest, right between the nipples.
Yes.
Put your other hand on top of that hand.
Betty, I'm telling you. Just look at him, you can tell.
Just
wait. Okay,
please! Okay, he just gurgled.
Okay, listen to me. Alright, I want to play.
What?
Yeah.
What? He gurgled. Couple of things from this 911 call before I talk about the gurgling.
Oh my gosh, that was so much.
So much. So from the 911 call, there's, in my opinion, there's no emotion other than panic. Like, oh shit, I'm about to get caught. Like, I'm about to go to jail. Like, something bad is about to happen to me.
Yeah, way too like...
animated
here in the moment, like holy shit, you know what I mean? Like, if that would have been like a genuine like I fucked up moment, she would be like
panicking, hysterical,
like can't talk, like
can't focus,
figure out my location, I can't even tell you where the hell I am right now, right. Type of thing, you know?
Exactly. And she is too like calm. I mean, she's panicking, but she's too calm in this 911 call.
Mm-hmm.
The whole gurgling thing. So I was reading just random Google searches, like how long, I hope nobody like looks at my search history, but how long can you survive in a suitcase? Can you truly suffocate in a suitcase? You know, type of thing. And surprisingly, a lot of people have asked this like on Reddit and stuff, because like, oh, if I just like get in a suitcase and I go through like the airport,
security.
Yeah, do I have to pay for a ticket? You know, like stuff like that. So the time was kind of like all over the place. Like, how long can you survive? It says that you can die from suffocation or asphyxiation within a couple of minutes or... up to 11 hours. So her timeline is they were painting, they were playing games, they were dancing, they were listening to music, they were doing all of these things. They went inside at 6 o'clock or whatever. And then at 8 o'clock at night is whenever they decided to play hide and seek. Well, then the neighbors hear around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, that big bang, roll down the floor or roll down the stairs. And then she calls 911 at 1 p.m. So did she put him in the suitcase at 8 p.m., roll him down the stairs, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night? And how long did it take him to die? I mean, we clearly hear in the video that he's gasping for air. It's all he can do to say, Sarah.
Please let me out.
Yeah, please. I can't fucking breathe. Sarah. Sarah. And he's barely moving, if not moving at all.
Yeah, it's literally just like a...
Yeah, like a poke.
Tiny poke.
Yeah, like, please, just help me. And then the whole gurgling thing, whenever you do aspirate... You can gurgle, you know, as somebody is giving you CPR, because all of that fluid and foam like sets in your throat. So I don't think he was alive. Mm-hmm. And the fact that his body was not cold is because I think because he was in a suitcase. So his body warmth was contained. Mm-hmm. His body temperature was contained. So I truly think he probably died within 3 or 4 hours in the suitcase.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So I definitely recommend that you listen to the entire 911 call. It's fascinating. Definitely recommend that you watch the entire interview with the detectives.
Definitely those.
Yeah. And you know what was driving me nuts is that detective kept coughing, and I'm like, bitch, I swear to God, if you cough over something and I can't fucking hear it, I'm gonna be so mad.
Freak out.
Yeah, I'm gonna be so mad. Like it but it was prime time COVID, February 2020, so literally, she probably had COVID.
She's like, but I have to be here right now.
I have
now.
To be here and interview this psycho bitch. So
yeah. I mean, I would want to interview her too though.
Yeah.
And I respect interviewers, like, oh my, you know, God. I'm like, yeah, I would not. There's a couple of times where they had like kind of gotten, like, not necessarily like the guy interviewer in there, he kind of got a couple times where he was like, you could tell he was getting a little upset.
Pissed.
Yeah,
he was. I think he was losing his patience because they had interviewed her for 2 fucking hours
and saying the same
shit. She was saying the same shit over and over again, and all they wanted to know was, why did you put him in the suitcase?
Why? What was your motive?
Yeah.
What was why? That's all they wanted to know. Yes. They're like, you did it. We have all of the proof.
But I would never do that. But I would never, you did it.
I would never intentionally do that. Well, you did.
You did it.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
So
we want to know why.
So we want to know why. Like,
and
just
it's not a game
us.
Of hide and seek. Like, we want to know why. Why the fuck did you leave him in the suitcase while I went to sleep? But why?
But why'd you go to sleep?
Yeah.
Why would you go to sleep?
Well, I thought he could get out. Come on. No, you didn't.
From what in that night? Which, I mean, honestly, like... Maybe if she wouldn't have talked herself up and been like, I'm not an alcoholic and I don't get drunk and things. Maybe if she would have been like, I get drunk and sometimes I black out and I forget things, you know?
Yeah, and then I look at my phone the next day and realize that I took a crazy fucking video of him.
Yeah, but this time she pled her case the opposite way. She was
the complete opposite way.
I am the stable one in the relationship. Like, yep. I don't do that. Like, did she not look at her phone all morning in her videos?
I think that's what she was doing. I truly think she probably fell asleep, maybe took a little nap, and then she was like, she got a little sober, and she's like, oh, shit.
What
George
have
is,
I done?
Like, where's George? Oh, he's downstairs. He's dead. What the fuck am I gonna do?
Yeah.
But why wouldn't she delete the video?
That's what I'm saying. Because,
like,
maybe
she didn't know that she took the video.
I'm thinking either maybe... She saw the video, and honestly, if you're going to try to delete a video like that, like, that stuff is saved in your data chip, and I'm sure, I am sure there are higher sources out here
that can find that,
you know, I mean, maybe you could delete it and then delete it from your photo, but, like, it would still be in your, like...
I don't know, watching her reaction to watching that video of them playing the video on her phone, I truly think she did not remember taking that video.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that she had seen that.
No.
And that was when she realized, I'm going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, her demeanor changed completely.
And she had a completely different story.
Yes.
Like her story, she was just like
panicking. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what to say. So she was trying to like figure out what the fuck am I going to say?
And then she was like, at the end, she was like, what can I do to prepare myself for what you guys are? And they're like, we're not going to prepare you for a murder trial.
Yeah. We're not going to prepare you. I know. And then she kept asking for her phone back. And she's like, so can I, like, when can I leave? And they're like, well, we just, we need you to stay just a little bit longer. And I'm sorry, like, I never want to call somebody stupid, but her intelligence level is very low, clearly, because if she were smart, she would have gone in and instantly asked for an attorney.
Oh my
gosh. Or instantly said, anything. Are you charging me? And if they said yes, then ask for an attorney. If they said no, then be like, okay, I'm walking my happy ass out of here.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe she might have thought that if she went in there and was just, you know, like, casual, she'd been rehearsing this, and she was like, oh yeah, I got this. Like, this was totally what this is. She got it in her mind. She's clearly not in her right mind anyways, you know, so.
Yeah.
She must have thought, like, I can go in there and talk my way out of this.
Probably.
Because she was like, I'm a straight-A student. And I've been a perfect child for my whole life.
Yeah, but I'm not an alcoholic. But, bitch, she drank two bottles of wine because they found two empty bottles in the trash can.
Yeah, just be real with yourself. Just be like, okay, I did these couple of things.
Yeah, and I fucked up.
Yeah, I fucked up. I don't remember what happened. Mm-hmm. You could even say...
Yeah, she could have said that she didn't remember, and she would now be able to plead insanity.
Yeah.
Because she didn't remember because of substance abuse.
Yeah, she was like, I was literally blacked the fuck out.
I don't even remember taking that video.
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
And I woke up that morning. Yeah, I went to bed and I woke up that morning and I saw his ass in the fucking suitcase and I panicked.
I freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
There's like so many other avenues.
But that's why you need an attorney, period. But fast forward to today.
You also could just not murder somebody.
Or that. But if you ever find yourself in a pickle, always ask for an attorney. Mm-hmm. I plead the fifth. Mm-hmm. But for real. So fast forward to today. Well, then she was clearly arrested at the end of the interview, charged with second degree murder. She now has a new public defender because all of her previous public defenders, she's gone through like eight. All of her previous public defenders have withdrawn themselves from the case. She even called one of them a dud and a buffoon. Yeah, she is, like, psycho.
Trying to, like, beat down the person trying to, like, they're literally assigned.
They're trying to help her.
It's their job to help her, and she's just, like,
being a nightmare. She is being an asshole. So, the trial continues to be pushed out because of this. Mm. I think she is doing this intentionally.
I was going to say, maybe she knew a little bit and was like, maybe if I just, like, keep.
Act a fool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. But either way. So she consistently also writes letters to the courts, like to the judge, asking for new public defenders. And she even said with one of her previous public defenders, I, as Mr. Bankowitz's client, cannot communicate with him via phone due to him still not activating one of two numbers he's given me that do not work, and he keeps giving me different reasons why each time I ask to keep trying to call him. So she continues to write these letters to the judge, just making up all of these random excuses. Like, I'm sorry, what public defender is going to give you a phone number that doesn't work?
Yeah, but like, also, I mean, like, public defenders are pretty busy, but also they're not gonna be, they work for the court system, they are designed,
and they work for you,
to work for people in the jail population, you know. But also at the same time, like, they're a public defender and they're free, so like, they're not gonna do that great of a job either.
Exactly.
So I could kind of see a little bit of the both sides there.
I can too. I mean, public defenders, they have shitty jobs 99% mm-hmm. of the time. They've just graduated law school. It's their first career outside of, you know, being in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not getting paid shit. They're getting paid by the government.
I feel like it's like a what's that word in colleges that they use? Hazing. It's like a
yes,
haze.
Yes, it is. It's for kind lawyers. Of like hazing yeah. for attorneys. I completely agree. But regardless, like, just you have somebody that's being your public defender and mm-hmm. they are trying to build their career and their profile at
so
the same
time.
So
they want to look good.
Exactly. So I don't know. I feel like she's just a mess. Coming from watching her interview, mm-hmm. I think she's just a problem.
Yeah.
And she knows exactly what she's doing by asking for different public defenders or just treating them terrible where they want to withdraw themselves from the case.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, you know, maybe she got in there around a group of people that maybe were like, yeah.
Here's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they're like, here's what you do. You want to kill your significant other, you know? Because I mean, yeah. at the end of the day, like, women will always support women.
Yeah, they will. Know? And she's probably a master manipulator. So she's probably telling these women like a sob story.
Yes.
Especially that he was so abusive and blah, blah, blah. And I just couldn't fucking take it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you couldn't take it anymore, then just move your happy ass out. Your yeah. kids don't even live there.
No. Like, it's insane.
Like, I get to a certain extent, but when it comes to, like, you know, like, I get staying for these times and going back because you think that they're going to change and this and that. But, right. like, whenever murder pops, like, whenever you have that little, like, whisper in the back of your head, like, yeah. maybe I could just kill him. Yeah. You should probably fucking leave.
Yeah, you should probably leave.
Right. Like,
I know.
You should probably just get out of there and yeah. just do yourself a favor.
Just say goodbye.
And be like, I'm not that person. I will never let that person, you no. know?
Yeah, but know. She had some liquid courage. So, mm-hmm. you know, she was mm-hmm. able to lock his ass up. So her trial was supposed to occur this October 2nd. And
oh, really?
Yeah, but it was actually delayed again because a public defender change.
Yep.
So on Monday, October 30th, the public defender, Winston Hobson, had asked for a continuance so he could prepare for the trial. Obviously, that was granted. So now the trial is set for January 16th, 2024.
That's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. So, and it will be a pretrial conference. And basically what that means is the prosecution determines if they have enough evidence to continue with the trial or not. Mm-hmm. So they will present the evidence to the judge and then the judge will determine if they're going to continue.
You know, I just had another thought too. Like, what if the reason that she keeps cycling through all of these whatever they're called,
attorneys
mm-hmm. is because they all know that there is not a fighting chance that she is going to win this trial. And maybe. They're all like, I don't want this on me.
Yeah, they're probably like, hey, here's a plea deal. We're offering you a plea deal and you need to take it. And she's mm-hmm. like, no, I'm fucking no. innocent.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Maybe. Ooh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I'm not going to sit here and do this with you because...
Yeah, like, I can't defend you because I know you're guilty.
Yeah, and this is going to go on my record as me, like, they're these guys starting out or these women, yeah. whoever, starting yeah. out.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I would not be surprised.
I would not want to be her public defender.
I would not want to be
like,
her public
I'm fucked.
Defender. Yeah. Yeah.
We're fucked.
Yep. We are fucked. And especially because she's now claiming that she was a battered woman. And again, mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I think that she was battered to an extent. I think they were both very abusive. They were both toxic. But at the end of the day, like, leave or kick him out.
Leave. Don't kill him.
Yeah,
don't kill
him. Put him in a fucking suitcase.
Give him a chance.
Determine that you've got the upper hand and that motherfucker can't get out. That's what she did. She took her chance.
She did that. She said.
She did it. And she knew.
She said.
She knew. If I unzip the suitcase, he's going to fucking kill me.
I'm going to die.
I'm going to die.
It's going to be me.
Yes.
But it was such like a... I don't know. I feel so bad for him because I'm sure that in that situation, in that suitcase, he probably couldn't But if I was
being pushed down the stairs, yeah, you're not fucking moving.
You're hurting.
Yeah.
So you can't like move, like freak out. Like no. You don't have the actual energy
no.
to try to fight for your life.
Because like, he was fighting just to say Sarah.
Yeah. Oh God. Like I just only had saw that video. So I didn't realize like I didn't, everything. I didn't know the stuff from the neighbors. Yeah. And then she was like talking about the neighbors like, oh, Eli and la la la
whatever
hate me. Yeah, they hate me. She's so jealous much. Of me.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't let me use her bathroom.
Yeah, I know. She's I'm crazy. I'm
like, no, you guys are like
toxic.
Bad together. Yes, and they don't like it.
No. And they're sick and tired of you drinking, but you're not an alcoholic and you weren't drunk. Bitch, you were drunk.
There was a definitely some, then they were like, yeah. It was so funny. The interviewers, they were like, we have the receipts. Like you, can't
you guys bought two bottles of wine, not one. We have
from
the
same day.
Yes.
They're from the same day. So yes. Stop trying to lie. And she just shut up. She was like,
she like knew. She's like, okay,
they got me. We had two bottles of wine.
Because
she was like, there was like this much left. I'm like, that is less
than a glass of wine.
Trust me, I know my wine.
But the detective said that there were two empty bottles, so I don't even believe that. I bet you they were both empty. Like they were empty. Mm-hmm. They drank them all, and mm-hmm. they were fucking lit.
Yeah.
That was it.
Because who can, unless you're drinking like Moscato, you know, oh my gosh. But if I were to drink an entire bottle of Cab or an entire bottle of Pinot, I would be lit. Yeah. I would be so lit. I would be like, I won't be showing up for work the next day.
You know, at the end of the day, you don't put your significant other in a suitcase.
I didn't leave.
And then leave and go to bed. So it was 1,000% intentional. It was 1,000% premeditated.
Oh, yeah.
It was 1,000% wrong.
Yeah.
It was just wrong.
They kept, every time she said, I didn't intentionally.
Not intentional.
Not intentional.
Not intentional.
And they're like, but you went up. They're
but you
like,
did it.
You went upstairs to bed. Yeah. What did you think you were going to do when you laid down in your bed upstairs? Like,
exactly.
And she just kept being like, well, I didn't intentionally go up there. Who did it then? Who?
Yeah.
Did somebody force you?
Yeah, nobody else did it.
There was
so,
no one else there.
Yeah. So, you know, what's going to end up happening in January, there's going to be the pretrial conference. They're going to decide whether or not, you know, they're going to move forward. And they're going to move forward. They have plenty of evidence. And then they're going to actually go. The trial is going to begin. And I'm so curious to see what happens. I know she will be found guilty. Mm-hmm. I just know that she will. She's going to be found guilty of second degree murder. And she's probably going to be sentenced to like 20 years in prison.
Yeah, I know she's definitely going to be charged as guilty.
Yeah.
Damn, there was something else I had on the tip of my tongue right there before you got to the
it's
jail.
The margarita.
Man. All right, well, maybe it'll come back to me. Let's circle back to it. But, oh, I remember now. It was the fingernails. I can't wait for the trial to come out.
Yeah, she's going to have a DNA under her nails.
And, like, to say that it was, like, sex, she never once said in that whole good day, we had such a good day. They never had sex.
Yeah, she never said, like, oh, we even had sex today. Mm-hmm.
That would be in the timeline.
Yeah, until they determined, oh, well, he had scratches all on his back and a big scratch along the back of his neck. And she's like, that's from sex.
Mm-hmm. That's from sex. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, oh, okay. No, that's your alibi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, anything else?
Oh, man. I just am ready for it to be January, honestly, and her not get another public defender.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm super invested into this now.
I know, I am too. And we'll definitely have to come back and do a follow-up of the case, mm-hmm. especially after determining that she is found guilty.
Yes, absolutely. Because
and
I'm
after
sure
hearing all the other evidence that they found.
Yeah, because like out of that 2-minute video and then the other video, they only posted a snippet like that 15 to 20 second video of all of that happening.
Yes.
Like, there's no telling.
I want the full 11-minute video. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to the full 11-minute video that she recorded and the other video that she has
where
too
she
that was like a minute
around
or something. Yeah.
And like threw,
threw him around. Unreal. Well, stay tuned for the next episode of this after January. Yay! Thank you, April, for being a great guest.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And as you all know, 5-star reviews are definitely always welcome. Follow us on all of our social media platforms. And as always, stay sinister.
Yeah.